standing ovation and a round of applause. Can we all welcome Reverend Dr. Junior Omomo?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Father, we thank you for this awesome thing that you are doing in our time. Thank you for this army that you are raising to take over the land. Thank you for what you have done in this conference. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you will continue to do. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you will take over this session. And Lord, let your word come expressly. Let our life be imparted for your glory. Thank you, Almighty God. Lord, I celebrate your grace upon the life of your Son, your set man over this vision, over this mission. Lord, thank you for his wife. Thank you for his children. Thank you, Lord God, for the great team that, Lord, you have brought to be a great support to him. Lord, I thank you for this very, very summit. And I know that, Lord, our lives will not remain the same again. Lord, I pray that this vision, you will carry it from glory to glory. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. Let's put our hands together for Jesus and be seated. Let me celebrate and appreciate immensely my dear brother. One whom I keep learning from, you know, from time to time. And each time I come to this place, I see God moving this work from one phase of glory to another. So please join me to celebrate Reverend and also Mrs. Olaji Odejide. Let's celebrate them for the great work they're doing. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I also like to celebrate my bosom and covenant friend. We've been together for close to 30 years now. All right, Dr. Olawo James, let's celebrate him. The director of Youth and Student Ministries of the Nigerian Baptist Convention. You know, as the praise worship was going on, what came into my mind is that you arise in, is it September now, October? You need to, whatever you need to do to take this team, to let them know how to arise, you need to do that. So, I hope you heard what I've said. So, your team should be prepared because you need to teach them how to arise. And the youths of the Nigerian Baptist Convention will truly arise. Amen. I want to celebrate all the ministers of the gospel, everyone, you know, under the sound of my voice, online and on site. It's my prayer that this session will be an impactful one to his glory in Jesus' name. Now, what I've been asked to share with you at this session is what is called Essentials of Leadership in the 21st Century. The Essentials of Leadership in the 21st Century. It is a common saying that the only constant thing in life is change, because life keeps evolving from one phase to another. Nothing is static. Leadership is not static. Leadership keeps moving from one phase to another. Now, despite the fact that we have different phases of leadership, there are things that remain, you know, fundamentals when it comes to leadership. Leadership entails that we have the attitude and the mindset that is not fixated, that is not tied to the past. Because a good leader who wants to truly lead, whether a leader at home, a leader at work, a leader in church, a leader anywhere, in any organization, you need to have a growth mindset. Now, so many leaders, especially church leaders, you know, got fixated to the old way of doing things when COVID came. And so many pastors lost their members. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Because so many, you know, leaders in the church were not prepared for the change that COVID brought. And because they were not prepared, they got swept away by that change in their ministry, the momentum and everything got, you know, swept away. I recall when we first began, you know, the issue of using technology in ministry. Was it 2009 or so? I recall when I had iPad. It was 2009. I guess it was 2009. That was the first time it came out. And so many, you know, were criticizing those of us who felt like, well, we need to adapt to technology. And they felt that, well, if you're not carrying the hard cover Bible, I don't know whether you have your own there. They believe that you are not born again. And I had to challenge them. I said, look, if you know how the original Bible came, that no one can carry that from place to place, you know, that we need to have the mindset of change. So if we are talking about leadership in the 21st century, people no longer follow leaders because of the position they occupy. People follow leaders because of what they have to offer. I know that in the past, once you said you are a leader, you know, everyone, you know, respect you, everyone listen to you, everyone wants to follow you. But now, even at home, to lead your family, you know, in the past, children will not question what their fathers or their mothers say. But now, my children question me. I don't know whether it happens to you. I don't know if anyone is a parent like myself. In those days, when we're growing up, you dare not ask your father any question. Once your father makes a declaration, a decree, you say, yes, sir. It's like military barracks. But that's not the order anymore. Who understands what I'm talking about? All right. So, people now have choices to make. And the kind of thing you offer will determine who follow you. That's why it's important. So what are those essentials of leadership in the 21st century? Now the first one, you have the write-up in your program booklet. Once again, let's appreciate that colorful program booklet. Let's celebrate God. Thank you, Pastor Bolaji, for this novelty that the Lord is using you to do. The first one is character. And you know, this remains constant. It doesn't matter the century that you belong to. But then, in the 21st century, character is much more at the front burner than the past. No leader can rise above the limitation of his or her character. There's no leader that can rise above the limitation of his character. In other words, how far you go in life is determined by your character. Because your character will determine who you are, and who you are will determine what you see in life. And you know, what you see in life will also determine what you do at the end of the day. Because your character cannot be separated from the action, the decisions that you make from time to time. Billy Graham said something many years ago, and that has not left me. Said, well, if you lose weight, you have lost nothing. In other words, if you have money and whatever happens, like, just yesterday now, the Central Bank now told us that, well, dollar now had moved from the official rate from 461 to 664. I hope you are aware of that. And that tells you that the value of the naira you have has depreciated, even though they try to let us know that there's no devaluation of the currency. And there are people that have lost wealth at one time or the other, but they recovered. I read a story of Otedola, one of the billionaires we have in the country. At one time, he was in serious debt. He was in serious debt. But today now, you will not know that man was in debt at one time because he recovered. I don't know if there's someone under the sound of my voice, you have lost maybe your means of either livelihood or whatever. Whatever is important in your life that you have lost,
by this unction, I decree a complete recovery.
So Brigham said, if you lose your wealth, you have lost nothing. But if you lose your health, your well-being, he said, you have lost something. And then he went further to say, if you lose your character, you have lost everything. You have lost everything. If you lose your wealth, you have lost nothing. If you lose your health, your well-being, you have lost something. Because it will drag you back. It will slow you down. But if you lose your character in life, you have lost everything. So your character is a choice that you make. And character is not a gift that is bestowed upon anyone. So the development of your character is very, very important. Now, over the years, I keep reminding myself, because as a pastor, I know that I can't please everyone. I know that despite the fact that people may say, well, Pastor, we love you. Pastor, we love you. I know there are people who may say, Pastor, we love you to my face. And that behind me, they may say something else. Now, but there's this statement that have not left me, that look, if you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. Because your reputation is what men see about you. Your character is who you are. And sometimes your reputation may be marred before men. You remember when Paul, on his journey to Rome, I got to that island, and while they were trying to prepare a fire for them to get warm because of the cold, and how that serpent fastened itself to Paul. And then the people in the island said, this person must be a criminal, must be a thief. How many of you know that story? Same, they must be a thief. And that, well, he tried to escape, but now his sin has caught up with him. That was the reputation they had about Paul at that time. But when they saw that Paul was not affected by the snake bite, but rather he shook it to the fire, and then nothing harmed him, they changed their mind. The same people, at first they saw him as a thief. And at another time, they saw him as, this person is not ordinary. He's not a thief. Praise the Lord. So that underscores the fact that if you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation before men. Because your character will determine the things you see, how you see the things, and character will help you to discipline your life, to discipline your desires, your decisions, and your direction. David and Daniel, they excelled in their various calling because of their character. When you read Psalms 78 verse 72, the Bible talks about David shepherding the flock of Israel with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hand. And then for Daniel, his character also stood him out in Daniel chapter 6. They could not find any fault. If you read that passage from the New Living Translation, it tells you that they tried to criticize him. They could not find any fault with him. So I'm praying that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice with a character flaw, know that your character will set a limit on your leadership potential. Will determine how far you can go. But I know that because character is a choice, you can still make the right choice today. If there's anything you need to amend in your life, I pray that grace to make amend will come to you in Jesus' name. The second thing about leadership in the 21st century is charisma. The ability to draw people to you. John Maxwell said, if you are leading and no one is following you, you are just taking a walk. So charisma has to do with the ability to draw people to yourself. A leader must be others minded by thinking about the well-being of others. And that's part of the charisma. So a charismatic leader is one that makes people to feel like. A charismatic leader is one that makes people to be valued and also make people to be appreciated on a day-to-day basis. So charisma, like character, can be developed. You can develop it.
you can develop this likable, you know, trait in you that will compel people to follow you. So charisma is expressed through your special ability, such as gifts bestowed on the leader. So a good leader should learn to discover whatever your potentials that God had given to you, learn to discover them. One of the things that I try to promote from time to time is that in the body of Christ, we must learn to discover what God has given to us. And once you discover it, please develop it and learn to deploy it. I recall when, you know, we're growing up and the issue of speaking in tongues was like an anathema in a setting at a point. And people felt like once you are going that way, you are going to the extreme. But I saw that from the scripture. And I desired that. And I recall that no one laid hand on me to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I pressed myself into it. Because in the church where I got saved, no one spoke about the Holy Spirit. And if anyone dare speak in tongues, you will be bundled out of the church. But I realized that in the church at that time, as I was growing up, I realized that there were a number of things that I needed to discover about what God has given to me. And I began to study the scripture. I began to pray. And I was able to look into the scripture and then see what God had opened up to me. And that's why when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I realized that a number of things that we should be operating in, we are not operating in them because we are not pressing for them. So, but as a leader, whether you are a leader at home, a leader in a place of work, you need to command the ability for people to follow you. The third one is the issue of commitment. Commitment is what separates a doer from a dreamer. Everyone can dream about the future, about the things you want to do, the things that you believe that God wants you to become in life. But what makes that to become a palpable reality is your commitment. So it is commitment that separates a dreamer from a doer. So if you are a leader at home, you are a leader in the marketplace, leader in the church, you must show commitment. Because that will stand you out as a leader to be respected, as a leader to follow, as a leader that can command, you know, followership. Commitment is very, very important, because commitment will always precede, go before any great achievement that you will make in life. So it's important to have true commitment to what God has called you to do. Has God called you to be a father? I know that on Sunday, some of us in our settings will be talking about fathers are kings. Now, everyone is a leader. Everyone is a leader. And I know that people try to argue the fact that, well, if all of us are leaders, then who are the followers? We're only leaders at different phases of life. Praise the Lord. Even if you are not leading anyone, you need to learn how to lead yourself. Because the highest form of leadership is self-leadership. So, if you don't know any form of leadership at all, please take time to consider the leadership of who you are to lead yourself. But you must show commitment. Commitment will be revealed by the statement you make and by the actions that you display. Your commitment in life is what will determine the degree into which your leadership expression, you know, will be seen. Vince Lombardi said something. He said the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to his commitment. The commitment to excellence, the commitment to the things that you have been called to do, regardless of the chosen field of endeavor, whether as a housewife, whether as a leader in the office, a leader, you know, in the business, a leader in the church, it is commitment to excellence that will also distinguish you as a leader to be honored, a leader to be followed. The fourth one, when it comes to leadership essentials in the 21st century, is communication. Communication that is functional. Communication that is firm. Communication that is forward-looking. Communication is a trait of a leader that cannot be jettisoned. Because if you fail to communicate as a leader, at the end of the day, you just realize that you are all alone by yourself. Because communication can pull people to you, and communication can take people away from you. And that's why Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37 and 38, he said, by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. So that means that you need to take care of your communication. Your communication is very important. What you say, how you say it, when you say it, very, very important. Because communication is a connecting factor between the leader and those that are following the leader. So leaders who do not connect with people through what he or she says will be traveling alone at the end of the day. So you use communication to express your ideas. You use communication to express your desires, to express your feelings. And this communication is a connecting factor between you and the people that are following you. So it is difficult to have followers go with you to where you want them to go if you fail to communicate. So a good leader should have communication that is clear. Your communication, either to your children at home, either to your spouse, either to your colleagues at work, either to people around you, your communication must be very, very clear. That is the sender of the information, the receiver of the information, and how the information, you know, is sent. You need to take care of all of those, you know, channels. So your communication must be clear, must be credible, and your communication must be compelling if your communication will bring a good result. So a good communicator ought to know and understand his audience. Can you imagine that Jesus was just passing by the lake of Gennesaret, and then he saw this young man who had been a fisherman all his days? And then all that Jesus told him, when he looked at him, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And then he saw James and John. He told them the same thing. They left everything and followed him. That means that that kind of communication must have been very, very compelling. That communication was without any ambiguity. The communication that made these people to leave their profession and to follow. So if you are going to have people that will follow you as a leader, you must have good communication. Number five, leadership essentials in the 21st century. The fifth one I have here is competence. That's the leader's ability to say what you need to say, to plan what you need to plan, and to execute the thing that you plan. It's the ability of a leader to say it, to plan it, and to do it, so that others will know that you know what you are actually driving at, and then they can follow you. People want to follow competent leaders. They want to follow leaders. You know, there's this common saying that people want to follow the one who knows the way. Praise the Lord. So if you don't know the way, no one will follow you. That's where the issue of competence, you know, comes in. So to be competent and remain competent in life, a leader should keep learning, growing, and improving. You must keep learning, you must keep growing, you must keep improving if you want to remain relevant. I recall when I came out of the seminary in 1998, You know, we know a lot of our lecturers who taught us. One of my fathers in the Lord, Dr. Ademola Ichada, taught me preaching. And I think it was early part of 2000 or thereabout, I was invited to one of our colleges to hold a minister's retreat. And I was asked to do, you know, their teachings and preaching and everything. And the one who was the rector at that time was one of our lecturers at the seminary. So when he sat down, he listened to the way I taught. He listened to all that God did in that meeting and all of that. He stood up publicly to say, well, that he knew the person that taught me. But he now said, but there's something that I've seen in what you have done in this meeting that is beyond what you were taught. Praise the Lord. And I told him, I said, well, thank you, sir, for this compliment. I said, well, what I was taught that I left with in 1998, if I remain there, I will not be relevant today. I will have become outdated. Because a leader that fails to keep updating himself or herself will become outdated. If you are a leader and you only look for people who will read you, and you will not read others, you will soon be in red. And no one will read you at the end of the day. It's very important that a leader must keep learning. A leader that wants to remain relevant must, there are things you need to also unlearn. Things that you have learned before that you know, realize now that, well, I think this is not correct. You need to be humble enough to relearn them and to unlearn. It's very, very important. Don't be a laggard when it comes to anything that will improve your leadership capacity. Don't have this attitude of a layback. Don't try to criticize others who are in the forefront, because whatever you cannot replicate and you criticize, you'll be judged by it. So you must know that if others are doing something, even if you don't understand, be humble enough to learn. Be humble enough to let them teach you. Praise the Lord. You know, I thought I know technology and all of that. You know, as we're coming on the way, one of my, you know, sons kept telling me, share your location. Share your location. I said, okay. I know how to use map. I know how to use that. I didn't know how to share location. So I had to ask him, young man, your father doesn't know how to share his location. So please, how do I go about it? And then he told me, he said, just open your WhatsApp. You will see a plus sign to the left. He said, click on it. You will see location. You will see live location. And that was how he followed me until I got here. Praise the Lord. So, if I kept quiet and I just said, what are you talking about location? What are you talking about location? If I get to another environment where I need to know, I need to show that I can share my location, I will be O2. Praise the Lord. So you must keep learning. A leader's level of competence is measured in six dimensions. When you see the last statement in that session, they said a leader's level of confidence. It's not confidence. Change the word confidence to competence. A leader's level of competence is measured in six dimensions. Number one, decisiveness. Number two, integrity. Number three, the ability to build a team around himself. Number four, problem solving. Number five, dependability. And number six, ability to teach or to mentor others. I know that in the course of this meeting, one of the speakers has spoken about the issue of mentorship. Please take note of that. And if you need to go back to that material, go over it again and again. That's Psalm 78 verse 72. The Bible says, David shepherded the flock of Israel through the integrity of his hand, but that was not enough.
there was also the skillfulness of his hand. Please learn to be skillful in whatever you are doing, because that will earn you respect, followership. By the special grace of God, I pastor a church where you have several professors, you have, you know, a lot of business, more-time business people. There was one time I told them, and I said, well, I know that we have several professors among you. I know you can read the Bible, you have commentaries and all of that. I said, when it comes to this thing about reading the Bible and interpreting it, I'm a professor. Praise the Lord. And I let them know that I said, any day that I teach something and then somebody come up to say it is not correct, that is to tell me that I've lost my credibility. Are you hearing me? So that's why I can't just appear before the people, you know, without adequate preparation. I know that, yes, we have professionals in their various fields. When it comes to this calling, then I must show myself competent. I must not be one of those pastors who will just come behind the pulpit and be telling stories, be telling fables, and then people will begin to, you know, correct things, correct that, and all of that, and at the end of the day, you know, you will lose your credibility. So please, make sure that you are competent. Whether as a clerk in the office, I think I saw something on WhatsApp 2 days ago, someone who said this lady had an experience in typewriting, that for 30 years of experience, and then she now migrated to handling computer. I saw the video. I wouldn't know how many of you saw the video. Now, while she was typing, you know, the monitor, she pushed it like this, just like you do the old typewriter, and the thing fell and scattered. Why? Because she did not move in her mind, you know, she did not migrate into the new thing that she had gone into. So she was not competent in that area. It's very important. Number 6, we're talking about essentials of leadership in the 21st century. Courage is one of those essentials. This is taking a step of action or taking a risk despite the fear that may be confronting you. Now, someone first said something, and at first I felt, well, maybe it's not true. He said, everyone you see in life is afraid. You only depend on what you are afraid of. Praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to the issue of faith is taking God at His word, even when the situations around you appear to the contrary. It is exalting the word of God above even the fears that confront you. So Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, he said, even the spine of others are stiffened. When a brave man would take a stand, can you imagine when Moses sent the 12 spies to go spy the land of Canaan? And they came back to give a report of what they saw. Now, 10 of them gave the report of the fear that they saw in that land. But Caleb and Joshua gave the report of their faith in God, the ability of God to deliver that land to them. And that was the issue of courage. That's what makes them to be different and also took them to the promised land. So without courage, Caleb and Joshua would not have arrived at the promised land. So if you are faint-hearted as a leader, even if you have the equipment for success, you will not succeed. You will fail. You will be like the children of Ephraim, that the Bible says, even though they were armed for battle, when they got to the battlefield, they turned their back. They have all it takes to win the battle, but they could not fight. Why? Because they were not courageous. Apostle Paul finished his ministry because he had courage. Courage in the face of opposition. Courage in the face of threat. Courage in the face of, death. and all things that try to stop him. It's very important that we develop courage. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, if you don't have courage, you cannot do it. You will not get to where God desires you to get to. But by the help of God, you will get to your destination. You will fulfill your divine purpose. Remember what God told Joshua. He said, be strong and be courageous. This was a man who had followed Moses for many years. But when the task was not given to him to lead the people, God knew that this man called Joshua was overwhelmed by the dimension of the work he needed to do. And so God had to tell him three times repeatedly, be strong and be courageous. Please tell your neighbor, be strong and be courageous in what God has called you to do. Courage is very important. Number seven, you need core values. Your core values. If you don't have values that hold you so dear in life, whatever you do in life will be of no value. If you don't have values that hold you so dear in life that you will not want to trade it for anything, there's nothing you do in life that will be of value at the end of the day. You must be a man or a woman of core value that people can know you for who you are. They can know your convictions. They can know that, oh, these are the things that, well, this person, once you look at him or you look at her, these are the things you can be sure that he or she will do. So what are your core values when it comes to the things you do, what you do, when you do those things, how you do those things, and the reason why you do the things you do? Very, very important. I believe that every one of us here, you may not be a pastor, but I believe that everyone under the sound of my voice is a child of God. And if you are, what is your value when it comes to your relationship with God? Can people actually see you and say, well, this person takes his or her faith seriously? You know, there are people that you see around, they come to church, they do things you do, but you just look at them, they are not serious when it comes to the spiritual things. Who knows what I'm talking about here? He said that this, you know, don't forget about her. Forget about him. It's because they don't have the core values about their relationship with God. There are people who do not value this institution called marriage. That they can do anything in marriage. They can do anything, you know, when it comes to their relationship. And such people will not go far. So what's your core value when it comes to having an accountability partner, when it comes to having a mentor, having someone over your life, to sit over your life, to guide you, to instruct you, to counsel you, to correct you? And you also have the core value about people who are following you, to know that you cannot afford to fail them. There are people who are looking up to you. Everyone looks up to someone at one phase or another. Just as you are looking up to somebody, there are people that are also looking up to you. Sometimes you may think that the position you are now is the lowest rung in the society, but I can tell you, if you look critically and you look very well, you'll see that there are others who are lower than where you are. True or false? Alright? So there are people, yes, there may be people that you are envying. So well, you are trying to say, well, God, maybe not the word envy, you are desiring and saying, God, please take me to this level. Because you want to move to a higher level. There are people who also want to move to your own level too. But without your core values, you will not be able to go far. Your value about integrity, your value about health, and other things. So ensure your values match the organization you belong to. If you are seeking for employment, you are looking for a job, don't just take up a job in any organization. Check the core values of such an organization. Does it match your own core value? Because when it comes to the issue of, you know, life is more than what you earn. Your life is more important than the salary that you receive at the end of the day. So don't just work anywhere that you will not be fulfilled. You will not be satisfied. I know people, you know, there are a number of churches today. People need to check
Now, this church, does this church believe in the things I believe in? Your core value is very important. And then, number 8, you must learn to collaborate if you are going to go far as a leader. Collaboration. Don't be a lone ranger. In whatever it is that God has called you to do, team player and team building is the strength of transformational leadership. So the strength of the organization of the church is actually the aggregation of the gifts within that organization, or the gifts, the potentials, the talent, the skills within the body. You must learn to aggregate them. So model collaboration. Ken Blanchard said, none of us is as smart as all of us. Praise the Lord. None of us is what? As smart as all of us. That's why John Maxwell said, cooperation is working together aggressively. Agreeably. He said, cooperation is working together agreeably, while collaboration is working together aggressively. Aggressively. So that you'll be able to finish your task and do it the way it ought to be done. So where collaboration is promoted, people work together to complement one another. If you seek for collaboration as a leader, you will not go out to compete with anyone. We have a lot of competitions today that ought not to be. God had not called us to compete with one another. God had called us to complement one another. And that's why we must have this attitude of collaborating, knowing that you need others to be all that God wants you to be. God had not called you to succeed all alone. There are people you need in life to succeed. There are people you need in life to get to where God wants you to get to. And that's why you must seek to collaborate with people. It is important to know that even the Great Commission cannot be finished by one man. It requires collaboration to finish the Great Commission. Number 8, you need to show care to people. It is said that people will not know how much you care as a leader until they see how much you care. You need to demonstrate this ability to care for people. And I know that the reason, one of the reasons why you see God doing the great things He's doing through Pastor Bolaji is His caring heart. He's a true shepherd. He's one that wants to look after the well-being of those who come around Him. So as a leader, you must show that, you know, trait in you, ability to care for others. And I've had cause to challenge some of my, you know, pastors, you know, colleagues, to let them know that, well, I know there are people who try to look at this church and say, well, this church is this church is that, and all of that. And then they talk about the things, you know, that are happening in that church. I said, God taught me a statement. I wouldn't know who made that statement, but that has stuck with me. He said, it is the grass that you watered that will remain green and attractive. Praise the Lord. Things will not work unless you walk them. And when it comes to the issue of a leader must show a caring ability. In fact, the book of Proverbs tells us that it is the animal that you care for that will provide for you. So it is the people that you take care of that will take care of you. It's very important. Number 10 is the issue of confidence. Without confidence in God's ability, the enemy will take you out of the way. Confidence is also the same thing with having an unshakable trust in God's promises, having an unshakable trust in God's power, an unshakable trust in the purpose for which God has called you and set you apart in life. So be incredibly optimistic and relentless as a leader. Leaders with positive attitude, intentionally, they will steer their focus, their beliefs, and the assumptions, they steer that towards a positive direction. So as a leader, know that things that God has called you to do, they are things that you can do.
God will not call you to do what you cannot do. God will not call you to do what He has not given you the ability to do. So it's important that you have confidence in God's grace, in God's, you know, help in your life to be all that He wants you to be. Let me draw a conclusion. While we live in a fast-changing world, certain things are bound to change. And in fact, they are already changing. When it comes to how we handle leadership, a number of things keep changing. But there are some essentials that no matter the changes, that these essentials remain fundamental when it comes to leadership in any century at all. It's very important that effective leadership in the 21st century is a call for you and I to know the things that are changing and to know the things that will remain. Know the things that are changing and then adapt to those changes. And the things that will remain, you need to hold on to them. Don't allow them to slip off your hand. Don't allow character to slip off your life. Don't allow charisma to slip off your life. Don't allow commitment. Don't allow anything to make you to drop the ball. I remember when, you know, we were laboring to do a number of things. Some felt like we were not using our common sense and all of that. But I realized that commitment has actually separated us from others. So don't allow commitment to drop off your hand if you want to be a relevant leader. There's also the issue of competence. Make sure that you are competent in what God has called you to do. Yes, Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Who does what? Who strengthens me. But I want you to know when he says, I can do all things, it is not just all things. You need to put that in context. All that God has called you to do, you can do them. Are you hearing me? Because no one can do everything. So you can do what God had called you to do. But you must know that, yes, God has called you to do things that He wants you to do, but you need to learn. You need to make adjustments. You need to prepare yourself and be all that God wants you to be. What about the issue of courage? What about your core values? And what about collaborating, knowing that you need others to succeed, to be the kind of leader that God wants you to be? And then finally, that you have confidence in God's ability to do all that God wants you to do. I wouldn't know if would there be question and answer time? I wouldn't know. Alright, so let's rise up as we pray. Just a few minutes, I'd like you to just thank God for what He had called you to do. Appreciate God, give Him glory, give Him praise, honor His holy name, exalt Him, magnify His holy name. Thank Him for what you have heard today. I'd like you to pray. If there are things you need to commit to God, to let the Lord know and say, Lord, help me, O God, to be a man, a woman of commitment, to be a man, a woman of core value. Help me, O God, to be competent in what you have called me to do. Lord, grant me grace, O Lord, to collaborate with others. Lord, help me, O God, to be one that will attract others to do what you want me to do in life. Lord, help me, O God, to be someone that will have confidence in you, that will have courage in you doing what you want me to do. Is there anyone here today who's saying, Lord, I need your help in my character? I know that I have some character flaws. I need your help. I need your intervention. I need you, O Lord. The things that you need to bring, let your light shine upon my character. Lord, help my life. Lord, help my life. Remember what Billy Graham said. If you have wealth and you lose your wealth, you have lost nothing. If you have health, if you have lost your health, you have lost something. But if you have lost your character, you have lost everything. And I believe you need to pray and say, Lord, help me not to lose my character. Help me not to lose my character. Help me to be the one you have called me to be. The Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, it's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Can people see the new things in your life? The new thing that will be attributed to Christ. Can they see your life? Do you need to tell the Lord today and say, Lord, let your light shine through me, O God. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a candle and hides it under the bushel. But he said, put it on the lampstand so that it give light to all that are in the house. He said, so let your light so shine before men. Why not pray today and say, Lord, this light in me, let it not go dim. Let it not be covered. This light in me, let it shine for others to follow me, so that others will collaborate with me to be what you want me to be, to do what you want me to do. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. What about charisma? Say, Lord, help me to discover what you have deposited in me. Help me, oh God, that I will not die with my potentials. I will not die with my gifts. Lord, help me to discover them. Help me, oh God, to develop them. As you open my eyes to see what you have given to me, help me to develop them. Help me to develop them. Let my gift find expression. Let my potential find expression. Lord God Almighty, every limitation that has been placed over my destiny, Lord God Almighty, by any power, any force, I want you to pray today. Let that leave, let that limitation be taken out of the way. Every handwriting of the enemy, whatever it is, I've told you that when you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. Is there anything that men have done, even to smear your reputation? You need to pray to God. When God arises on your behalf, yes, people had a different perspective about Paul, but when God arose on his behalf, the same serpent that was meant to kill him could not harm him. The people changed their mind. I tell you that when God arises on your behalf, even those who are seeing you in a bad light, they'll begin to see you in the right light. I want you to pray today and say, Lord, help my life. Lord, help my life today. Is there anyone here today who is saying, Lord, I need your help over my leadership ability? I don't want this ability, oh God, to be wasted. I want this ability to be deployed, Lord, to the praise and honor of your name. If that is your desire today, I pray with you. Just put your right hand on your forehead. Father, thank you for this moment of sharing. Lord, I ask, oh God, that the grace be imparted. Lord God Almighty, every leadership potential ability in the life of your people that seems to be covered, that seems to be hidden, that seems to be limited, I decree and I declare that every power of hell, Lord, that have covered that which you have given to them, I declare that that be taken out of the way. Let their light shine, let their potential begin to find expression. Lord, what you have called your children to do, I pray that, Lord, in it they will not fail, they will not falter, they will not fall by the wayside. Lord God Almighty, they will live their life to the fullest, to the glory and honor of your holy name. And through their leadership ability, hell will be plundered. Your kingdom will be populated. They will excel in the mighty name of Jesus. They will be outstanding in whatever you have called them to do. Your glory will be revealed over their life. And I declare, because no one covers the glory of the Son, I decree and declare over your life, the glory of God's grace over your life for leadership shall not be covered. That glory will radiate. All will see it. The glory and honor will be to God. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
We are confident that you have been blessed. Do well to share with your friends and families. To listen and access more life-transforming messages and resources, download the TFPAW mobile app from any of the Play Stores or visit our website www.tfpaw.org. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel at official_TFPAW, Facebook and Twitter at official_TFPAW. For further inquiries and counseling, you can reach us on the following phone numbers: 0803-9413-665 and 0816-7829-390. God bless you.